Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. It's my pleasure to have back on the show, Gordon Chang. Gordon, you've been on this show many times on my podcast, and now this is your first time on YouTube. It's only our third time doing a YouTube presentation. I'm so thankful for all the folks that continue to listen, to continue to send us ideas. And there's nobody better right now than Gordon Chang to talk about China. Gordon, we've done a whole China series with you over the last year just on podcast, but we're great to have you on YouTube. I want to get right to the heart of what's happening right now within the Chinese leadership and inside the Chinese economy. You know, our economy's tanking. This can't be good for China. Europe's economy is tanking. That also can't be good for China. What are your sources on the ground telling you, sir?
Well, first of all, the Chinese economy is still in contraction mode. Beijing reported negative 6.8% growth for the first quarter year on year. In this quarter, there will be some recovery, but not much. And the reason is, as you mentioned, the U.S. and Europe flat on their backs. We just saw the March trade figures for the U.S., our deficit with China has dropped something like 32% or so. So this is a real indication that we're not buying very much from China. And that is, of course, you know, you got factories in China that are actually up and running, but they have zero orders. We know that TJ Maxx, the big box U.S. retailer, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, it canceled $1.5 billion worth of open orders. And much of that, most of that, were for factories in China. So China right now is in trouble in terms of the economy. And the other big story there internally is that they're going through a second wave of coronavirus infections, not nearly as serious as the first. We don't know very much because of the extraordinary information suppression campaign, but we do know that the virus has not been beaten there, and it's still continuing to cause infections, and almost certainly it's probably continuing to cause deaths as well.
So, Gordon, we know this is a super contagious virus. A lot of us have been suspicious on where this virus was located because of the two labs that are in Wuhan. You know, we want to be careful to you know, and this is just speculation. But what are your sources now saying on, you know, what are the origins of this virus? You know, and is it possible that this virus, maybe if it wasn't a virus that was created in a lab, could it have been brought into the lab, like some are saying, and then accidentally released? What do you think? What are your best sources? And I know this is ever evolving. You're talking to people that you know over there all the time, and there's not a better consumer or source of Chinese information than you. Where do we stand today?
I think, Congressman, that the most likely explanation was that this was a coronavirus, a naturally occurring one that was stored at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the P4 Biosafety Lab, and that it accidentally was released. Of course, we don't know, and we won't know for quite some time. But the most important thing, Congressman, is that Beijing has been doing its best to prevent any investigation into the origin of the coronavirus. But when we can look at some of the things that have been occurring and some of the evidence, it does suggest that it came from the lab. And the most important piece of evidence is that The Lancet, which is the authoritative British medical journal, posted articles in late January and in the middle of February, which showed that many of the original coronavirus cases had no connection at all with the wet market in Wuhan. Now, the wet market is where many people and where Beijing thinks that this coronavirus naturally mutated. And you have a number of cases, and this was like about a third of the initial cases, have no connection. It means that one of two things: either there were two separate outbreaks, which is extremely improbable, mm-hmm. or that the virus came from someplace else than the wet market. If it didn't come from the wet market, it almost certainly came from the lab.
And likely, if this was in the lab, they would have been using bats. A lot of people talk about the bats. And the reason, as I understand, that they use the bats is because the bats have a very active metabolism. And so it's an easy way, I guess it's done all over the world, to study different types of viruses and sicknesses. Is that what you're hearing?
Yes, well, that is the most probable source. Now, these bats, by the way, were not sold at the Wuhan wet market that everyone has been talking about. And so it just seems like this was from the lab. Now, this lab, up until a little while ago, actually had on its website that it was storing 1,500 strains, more than 1,500 strains of coronavirus. And we know a couple of other things, Congressman. So first of all, we know the State Department sent an investigative team to the Wuhan Institute in early 2018. They came away alarmed. They came away alarmed because they saw that there was no adherence to protocols and to safety procedures that were just fundamental. And so what we've got is a lab which was sort of like a disaster waiting to happen. Also, China Daily, which is an official Chinese media. It's their main English language newspaper.
It's like Pravda, actually, of the old Soviet Union. And except
yes.
But it's dispersed. You know, unlike the Pravda back in the day, you can see the Chinese Daily. It's all around Washington, D.C. They even have it delivered directly to congressional offices, if you can believe that, Gordon. I bet you didn't even know that.
You know, it's surprising, but I did know that. And also, it's you can buy it on the honor boxes on the streets. It's just widely available in the U.S. Well, on their website a little while ago, they actually posted pictures of the Wuhan Institute to show that this was really a modern facility. And sharp-eyed netizens noticed that the seals on refrigerators were broken or warped. And these were refrigerators where they were storing coronavirus. So those pictures, those images were taken down because the Beijing was so embarrassed. But it does suggest that there was a release. Now, people at the lab say, oh, it's impossible. Well, of course, this is a man-made facility. So, of course, there can be human error. But also, we saw that how this human error could have occurred. We saw the failure to adhere to protocols. This was, therefore, a prime suspect in the origin of the coronavirus.
And let's take our listeners and viewers now back to the beginning of the Chinese doctor, the young doctor, the whistleblower who disappeared. What is his importance in this, and have we found him?
Well, there's been a number of people who have been disappeared, especially citizen journalists. Doctors have been detained. There was the Wuhan 8, eight doctors in the epicenter who were detained by police. And the most famous of them, Dr. Li Wenliang, died on February 7th, causing anger throughout the Chinese social media platforms. But Congressman, this points to an issue. You know, we're right now focused on the origin of the coronavirus, lab, wet market, whatever. But really, China's responsibility is more the what they did after this virus got out. Because we know that it was only on January 20th that Beijing admitted for the first time that the virus was human-to-human transmissible. But Beijing knew about this second week of December when doctors in Wuhan learned, and they could see that this was H-to-H, as they call it. So Beijing knew about it a few days later. Now, if Beijing had said nothing from the second week of December to January 20, that would have been highly irresponsible. But it gets worse because Beijing tried to convince the world that this was not human-to-human transmissible. In other words, they were deliberately lulling health officials around the world into not taking precautions that they otherwise would have adopted. And a couple other things. First of all, Beijing pressured countries to keep their borders open to arrivals from China. This is how the disease spread. Also, Beijing undercounted in their official statistics infections and deaths. And that also convinced officials around the world, including the White House Task Force Coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, into saying this was no more dangerous than SARS, the 2002-2003 epidemic that infected only 8,000 or so worldwide, according to official numbers. So we know that Beijing took steps that would inevitably lead to a pandemic. And if you're Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, and if you have seen what has occurred that China was crippled with the coronavirus, and if you wanted to level the playing field by spreading the virus around the world, you would have done exactly what, in fact, he did do, which shows that this was, at best, it was reckless, but more likely, it was malicious. It was a malicious spread of the disease. China intended this disease to be spread around the world. And that means it's responsible for the deaths and infections and the economic losses that have occurred.
Now, Gordon, I actually heard about this coronavirus. You know, everybody thinks the left and the media have been saying that, oh, Republicans were being briefed or Trump was being briefed. The truth is, the first briefing I got was from Gordon Chang on the John Batchelor Show, on the John Batchelor podcast. I believe you and John were talking about this right at the end of December, first part of January on one of his shows there. That's the first place I heard about this. So congratulations to both you and John for bringing this to the American public's attention. But let me say that as we move forward here, what can Congress do practically moving forward to hold China accountable? We know we've heard about, you know, Donald Trump's been trying to renegotiate a trade agreement with them to have, you know, more of a fair trade deal. But if you had a couple ideas that you think that we should focus on in Congress to be signed into law by the president to hold China accountable, what would those be?
There are a number of things that the United States needs to do. And one of them for Congress is to strip China of sovereign immunity so that it can be sued in federal court. Right now, there are class actions in Florida, Texas, Nevada. The state of Missouri has filed suit. But China is protected by sovereign immunity, so that should be stripped away. Fortunately, the Attorney General of Missouri also sued the Communist Party of China, which doesn't have sovereign immunity, and actually which is more important than the Chinese central government. But that's one thing for Congress to do. But if you step back, I think that what we're going to have to do is to get our supply chains out of China, especially for pharmaceuticals. And right now, the president is considering an executive order that would prohibit the federal government from spending money on pharmaceuticals manufactured in China and elsewhere. We need to do that because we need within our own borders to manufacture those things that are critical for Americans, and certainly antibiotics, pharmaceuticals, protective equipment. Those are critical for Americans. We cannot have this happen again another time. You know, if we step back again, the broader issue is like no one really wants to create a diplomatic incident or controversy with China, but we absolutely have to do this because this is not the last disease that's going to be generated in China. Chinese leaders right now have realized that they spread this disease around the world and they're trying to take advantage of it. We have to deter them the next time. And that means this time we have to impose costs on China that are so great that they will never do this again. Because as we're talking, Devin, we have 72,000 Americans who have perished from this disease. 72,000 Americans who should be alive today.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Gordon. Gordon Chang, everybody, thanks for being on our on YouTube for the first time on my podcast. Gordon, we can't thank you enough. And I know, unfortunately, we'll probably have you back on because the Chinese Communist Party isn't going away anytime soon.
Thank you very much, Congressman.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. Fight through the dark night. us, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.